scourgeth every son whom he receives. And there are times when, you know, the pain on the backside is so great that the pain up here doesn't matter. The thing that you didn't want to do, you get to the place where it's easier to do that than it is not to. In fact, you'll even get to the place, if you develop your gift or your ability, to the place where you will enjoy it. You know, there are a lot of things that are very, very difficult to do. My oldest little girl didn't like math, and she just couldn't get it at all. Well, she started studying a little bit, and just real easy. She made 100 on the test without any problem. And she said, it was easy. I said, yeah, it's real easy if you know the answers. Anything's easy if you know the answers. You know, it gets to be a lot of fun if you know how to do a certain thing. But when we don't know how, it's very, very difficult. And boy, it seems like a mountain that's too large to move. When I first realized that the Lord wanted me to witness for Him, that was too big a job. I just couldn't handle it. I thought that would be bigger than for me to get out and move one of those big mountains out there in Colorado. You know, the Rocky Mountains. I thought that would be a lot easier than for me to learn how to witness. I really did. Certainly to teach the Word of God, to stand up and to speak to people. I thought that was a mountain that was too big to move. But I've been speaking and teaching the Word of God for over 20 years. Every Sunday, practically, without missing but very, very few in the last 20 years. Very, very few. Well, you have a capacity for development. Now, you can sit there and let it be dormant. You don't have to serve the Lord now. But I want to assure you that you will someday. If you are saved, if you are born again, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have believed that He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, and you have trusted Him to save you, and you are saved, you are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have a choice. You can do it willingly now, and love the Lord and serve Him now. And, of course, the more you serve Him now, the more He's going to reward you, and the more crowns He's going to give you, and the higher you are going to be in His government during the 1,000 years, and the less you'll have to do then. So you can either serve Him 100 years or 1,000 years. Now you are going to serve Him if you know Him as your Savior. You'll enjoy serving Him 1,000 years. But if you're in fellowship with the Lord, you'll enjoy serving Him now too. There are those who really and truly, they get a big charge. They get a big kick. They wake up in the morning wanting to have an opportunity to serve Jesus Christ in some kind of way. There are others who never think about it. But they will. For 1,000 years. They'll wake up every morning anxious. What does the Lord want me to do today? And they'll be out doing it. And there'll be somebody there to make sure that they are doing it too. But we'll get with it. So we have this gift. Now, if you will turn for just a moment to 1 Peter chapter 4, the gifts are divided into three different kinds. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 10. There are three different kinds of gifts. There are sign gifts. We'll not deal with those at all this morning. We will deal with those later. Then there are speaking gifts. And there are serving gifts. In verse 10 it says, as every man hath received a gift, not the gift, but a gift, even so minister the same one to another. In other words, we receive our gift, then we are to minister, we are to serve one, the same one to another of the same kind, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaketh, and this is the first kind of gift, is a speaking gift. There are those gifts where you have to use your mouth to talk. And we'll see some of those this morning. Let him speak as the oracles of God. If he's going to have a speaking gift, then he is to use the Word of God in what he speaks. There are a lot of people who get up and they say they have a speaking gift, but they'll tell you what the Reader's Digest says, and they'll tell you what Dr. So-and-so says, or they'll tell you what this is and that is from this such book and that such. But the Bible says that we are to speak as the oracles of God. We are to speak the Word of God. Anybody who has a speaking gift, it should be that they know the Word of God and they can speak forth what God's Word says. So let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, that's the second word, or serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things, may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. In other words, we are to serve, and when we serve, we are to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our service, regardless of what kind of service it might be. Now, we started talking about the different gifts last time that we talked about. And the first one is the gift of prophecy. And this means to mouth out or to give forth, and it's the capacity to receive and to speak the truth. It could be in the Old Testament foretelling, telling the future, or it could be just foretelling, telling things that are true. If he was telling the future, he had to be 100% accurate. He was to warn, he was to exhort, he was to instruct, he was to judge. He was not to originate information, but he was to communicate the information that God gave to him. It was not his job to originate from himself his own truth, but he was to take truth that God had given to him, and he was to communicate that truth regardless of what kind it is. And then we also looked at the gift of evangelist. And this is to preach. This is a person who has the ability or the special gift of preaching the gospel clearly, forcefully, and with a great burden. And this person may not necessarily be a pulpit evangelist. It may be someone who loves to witness one-on-one. If you have a tremendous burden for lost people, and there are those who have a tremendous burden for lost people, they want to do nothing else better in their life or more in their life than to share with somebody else how they can be saved, how they can be born again. We mentioned Philip, the evangelist, and we saw that Philip was a deacon. He wasn't an ordained minister, as we call today. He was a deacon. And he had an evangelistic campaign. And he left that evangelistic campaign. He went out in the desert and he witnessed to the eunuch. He had the gift of an evangelist. He's an obstetricianist. He's the one who leads people to the Lord. They are born again through his ministry. And he introduces them to salvation. As I said, there are people who have a tremendous desire to do this. If you don't have a desire to witness for Jesus Christ at all, then there's something that's wrong with you spiritually. Every Christian ought to want to witness for Christ. But there are some who have a special knack at doing it. I gave the illustration of my cousin or my uncle down in Louisville who could not read and write, and yet he had a special knack of leading people to the Lord. While he was alive, he led more people to the Lord than all the preachers in Louisville, Mississippi, combined in a year's time. They had a room back there in the back of his service station where they would go back there, and sometimes he would lock the door. I mean, there'd be customers out there, and he would just lock the door, and they would go back there with two or three people, and they would get on their knees and pray for a certain person. And while they were praying, maybe the person would drive up, and then they would get that person back there, and they would pray for him. Lead him to the Lord. Did this many times. People would call him in the middle of the night and say, I'm lost and I'd like to be saved. Would you come over and talk to me, or could I come over to your house and talk to you? They'd wake him up. He'd lead him to the Lord. Couldn't read and write, but he memorized enough of the Scripture and enough of verses of Scripture where he could find them and he could point them out to people and lead them to Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart this man had the gift of evangelism. I've known other people who had the gift. Now, we all ought to have a burden for lost people. As I said, if we can see a person who's lost and it doesn't touch our heart, and we're unconcerned about it, we couldn't care less whether they understand about salvation or not, then something is wrong with us. We all ought to witness. The Bible says that we are all to be witnesses, but there are some who have the gift. And that's the difference. We can all speak forth the truth, but we all don't have necessarily the gift of prophecy. Then we talked about the gift of pastor teacher. A pastor is one who is a shepherd. A shepherd is one who cares for their sheep. David was a shepherd. He cared for the sheep when the wolves came in or the lion came in or the bear came in. He went after the bear or the lion. Killed them. Why? They were after sheep. He protects his sheep. David saw those sheep got food, water, whatever they needed. Takes care. Pastor, teacher introduces people to the Christian life. Helps them to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To learn God's Word so they can take the Word of God and make it practical applications to their life and so they can be happy. This is the gift of pastor teacher. This is not two gifts, but it's one gift. Every person who has the gift of pastor is a teacher. We are to teach the Word of God. Timothy was a pastor teacher. Paul told him to do the work of an evangelist. Apparently Timothy got to the place where he was just interested in doing nothing but just teaching the Word of God. And Paul had to write to him and said, "Now, Timothy, you need to get out and do some evangelizing. You need to go out and do some witnessing." You know, sometimes we get to the place where we're just soaking in the Word of God or taking in the Word of God, or maybe we just get sort of lax in our relationship to Jesus Christ and we just get real unconcerned about several areas in our life. And a pastor teacher needs to point these things out to us, to stir us up so we'll start making the application, start doing what God wants us to do. Living the Christian life. By the way, if you're living the Christian life, which means you're controlled by God the Holy Spirit, you won't even have to know what your spiritual gift happens to be. You will be doing it automatically. As we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, as we are walking in the Spirit, we've talked about this many times. If you do not understand the principle of walking in the Spirit, then just hang around for a few weeks, and I guarantee you that we'll be talking about it again. If I had time this morning, we'd go into it, but we don't. But when you are doing as the Holy Spirit says to do, then you will be exercising your gift, whatever it might be. Now, the fourth gift is the gift of ministry. We haven't taken this up. This gift is mentioned there in Romans chapter 7 that we read this morning. And the gift of ministry is the gift of serving or the gift of helping. This gift is actually the backbone of the church. Now, this gift is sort of like in football, the lineman. The linemen do the work, and as the linemen do their work, then the backs don't have much problem at all. If you don't have a good line, you don't have a score. Or if you don't have a good line, they score regularly, depending on whether you're on the offense or the defense. Now, if you don't have a lot of people in the ministry who are serving and who are helping, then the church is bogged down. These are the kind of people who don't like to be in the limelight. They like to be on the backside of the scene. They like to be out there with their arms or their sleeves rolled up and doing the things that are needful. A lot of people like this. Serving. These are people who will like to help maintain the church, doing the work around the grounds and inside and outside. They will be people who will actually do like to work with the tape ministry, or maybe doing secretarial work of the bus ministry, or helping with the nursery back here, or going to the nursing home, things like this. They will help the needy. These are people who minister, who are serving. Serving in all different kind of capacities. And we just listed a few of the things as far as service is concerned. Now we have a list of all the different things that we need people to be doing as far as in relationship to our church. I'm talking about things that are not filled right now. I don't know how many different jobs there are that are available, that are open. We have those lists back in the back in the foyer there. We also have some more lists that you can fill in your name, and then check the things that you feel like the Lord would have you to do. And if you didn't get one of those lists 2 weeks ago, we ask you to get one before you leave this morning. If you are associated with our fellowship here, you want to serve here together with us. And we said you don't have to be a member to fill out one of these things. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to help serve Him here, then we want you to fill one out and hand it in. You can put it either here on my desk or on my desk in my office, either place. But we'd like for you to have an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ if you're saved, if you're born again. And maybe you have the gift of ministry. This is where God has placed you. This is the gift that He's given to you. Remember when we read in Romans chapter 12, He says we all don't have the same gift. But we all have a gift, we have seen from 1 Corinthians. It says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he names them. Now, we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, he tells us in the third verse. You know, sometimes we would like to have maybe a speaking gift, but God has not given us that capacity, that gift. I didn't want a speaking gift. I didn't like to speak. But God gave it to me. And with that speaking gift, He gave me the capacity to develop it where I can speak and where I can teach the Word of God and where I can evangelize, where I can help people in different ways. Well, there are those who are non-speaking. Now, the ones we have looked at so far, the first three were speaking. Now, this is a non-speaking gift. Just helping and serving. And there are many, many, many different ways that people can serve. They can help. Then there's the gift of teaching. This gift is different from the gift of pastor teaching. A teacher may teach as well as a pastor can teach, even maybe better. When a person with the gift of teaching teaches, the students say, I understand. Maybe they didn't understand truth from the Word of God, and they'll read the Word of God, and it just doesn't seem to come. You know, they just go over and over and over again, and it just can't make sense out of it. And all of a sudden, the teacher gets up, and they begin to teach the Word of God. They scratch and say, why didn't I understand that? Well, they don't have the gift of teaching. You know, if they read it long enough, and they had the equipment, they could probably, sooner or later, deduce what that particular verse of Scripture is saying, or that passage of Scripture is saying. And with enough intelligence, they could learn. Just like a lot of you here this morning, in fact, a vast majority of you here this morning are students. Whether you're a high school or elementary school or college, most of you are students. And you don't have to go to school to learn, do you? Abraham Lincoln didn't go to school. Abraham Lincoln was a self-taught man. How would you like to learn math on your own? How would you have liked to have learned it on your own without any help at all? Some of you would have never made it out of the third grade. If you hadn't had somebody to stand there and just pound it into your head over and over again and show you over and over again. And some of you still didn't learn too well in the third grade. Or some other subjects. But with the teacher there explaining it to you and going over it and over again, finally you said, I see. Well, you had a good teacher. And there are those who have the gift of teaching. They love to study the Word of God, a teacher does. If the Word of God is not something that you really and truly love and that you want it more than anything else, then you more than likely do not have the gift of teaching unless you are just way, way out of fellowship. I wasn't a real good student in high school. In fact, they called me Nap because I liked to sleep during school. In fact, I practically slept through high school. Well, when I got to college, they started taking my money to teach me. That made a difference. And you know, I would go into those Bible classes, and I aced just about every one of them. It was amazing. The second time I went through Greek, the first time I had to drop it, I was working about 100 hours a week, and there's no way you can learn Greek and work 100 hours a week. But that second trip, I made straight hundreds. In fact, the only thing I missed was on the midterm exam, I missed one little accent mark. I forgot to put it on there. That's all I missed the whole first half of the semester. In fact, my principal at school, at my high school, found out about it, and he didn't believe it. So he wrote to school and asked them. It's amazing. Well, if you love to study the Word of God and you have the capacity to tell others clearly and in detail, then you probably have the gift of teaching. Now, like I say, if you don't love to study the Word of God, and when you stand to teach, you confuse people more than you help them, then I think I would probably be looking for another ministry. And some of you may be in that, and you may have a Sunday school class, and you just can't communicate the facts to them or the truth to them. And you're frustrated over it. Well, you just happen to be a round peg in a square hole, that's all. You just have not, you're not in the place of ministry that God has for you. Maybe you do have the gift and you don't have the opportunity to teach. Well, listen, there are plenty of opportunities to teach. If you think you have the gift, you see me. We'll find a place for you to teach or to find out if you do have the gift. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews for just a moment. Chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, we're all to teach the Word of God. Beginning at verse 11, the writer to the folks there, the writer to the book of the Hebrews, has had a real problem. He's writing to Jewish people, and Jewish people, Dr. Cameron tells me, they're born again backslidden. They're born again out of fellowship with God to start with, and they just have a hard time really getting with the program. And they were, a lot of them back in the day that this book was written, that were having that same problem. Notice, of whom or concerning whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, since you are dull of hearing. Now, the writer says there are a lot of things we'd like to tell you, but we can't tell you because you are dull of hearing. You're sleeping in church. You're naughty. You watched television too long last night or stayed up on a date too long or whatever it was. You're dull of hearing, or either there's some sin in your life and you just don't want to listen. So they are hard to be uttered. Now, the writer didn't have the problem of telling. He knew how to tell, but they weren't listening. Notice verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be at the place where you can teach other people. Ye have need that one teach you again the first principles, or the ABCs, or the simple things of the oracles of God. Now, what are the oracles of God? We've already mentioned this once this morning. That's just the Word of God. That's the written Word of God. He says, now, you ought to be teaching other people, but you can't teach anybody else. You've got to be taught again because you have forgotten. Now, if you don't use what you know, what happens to it? You lose it. Any information that you do not use, you're going to lose it. When I was in college, they taught us to memorize. In fact, they say that if you will over-memorize something, and they taught us how to over-memorize, you'll never forget it. And I'm over-memorized a poem. And I don't quote that poem maybe for a year or 2 years at a time, but you know, I can almost do it. And that's been over 20 years ago. Sometimes it gets so rusty. Why? I don't use it. You know that poem, it's The Little Boy Blue. I don't know if you know it, but you know, it's real important. So I don't use it very often. So what I've just about lost. In fact, I was just trying to remember it just then. I couldn't. And if you don't use the Word of God in your life, you'll lose it. And these people had lost the Word of God. And so he says you need somebody to teach you again and start back at the basics, back at the principles. We try to give you a good foundation on the principles on salvation here. We try to show you what salvation is so many different ways that you can't get it confused and mixed up when you leave. Because a lot of you students are going to be going somewhere else. And when you get away, people are going to bombard you with different ideas as to what you have to do to be saved. And they're going to try to put something in there as far as the work is concerned. A lot of them are. Because man naturally wants to do something to be saved of his own. He doesn't want to let God do it all. He wants man to do some little thing. And when man does some little thing to be saved, then he spoils salvation altogether. Because salvation is all of God. It's not by any work that we do, but it's by the work of Jesus Christ. Either Jesus paid it off or he didn't. Either Christ redeemed us and paid for all of our sins, or he didn't pay for all of it. Either we have to do something or we don't. Now, if we have to do something, it's not of grace. Because Paul says, it is of grace, otherwise works is no more works and grace is no more grace. And it can't be works and grace. It's got to be either work or grace. Grace means getting what you haven't earned and do not deserve. And if you earn it or deserve it, then that's work. And so the writer says we've got to go back to those ABCs, those simple things, to the primary things. And there are other things that are included in this. Notice, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not solid food. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful, the simple thing of the Word of God. They are unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a baby. He has not grown up. But he's still a baby. Still saved. Still born again. Still a child of God. But he just hasn't grown. Now, a lot of times it takes us a while to grow up. In fact, it takes all of us a time to grow up. No one grows up overnight. We aren't born mature Christians. It would be nice if we were, wouldn't it? I suppose. It certainly would save a lot of wear and tear. But God didn't see fit to do it that way. God saw fit to send us into the world as babes, physically speaking. God also saw fit to bring us into the world babes, spiritually speaking. Now, why he saw fit to do it that way, I cannot tell you, but I know that's the way he did it. And there are those who are babes. And if you're a babe, then you aren't expected to be
big on production yet, but you ought to be growing and learning the Word of God and getting in this milk. But solid food belongeth to them, verse 14, that are full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the ABCs, the principles, the simple things of the Word of God, let us go on to perfection. Now, you see, we are to teach, but all do not have the gift of teaching. We are all to evangelize, but all don't have the gift of evangelism. Every Christian can lead somebody to Christ. Every Christian can show somebody how they can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, but all don't have the gift. And when you try to get everybody to act like they have the gift of evangelism and they don't, boy, it's frustrating. If you try to get everybody to act like they have the gift of teaching and they don't have the gift, then they're frustrated. If you try to get everybody to act like they have the gift of ministry and they don't have the gift of ministry, then they're frustrated. But we all do have certain gifts, and we have to start exercising those gifts.